BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro, college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable. BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, to receive your awards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts, was a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio. Folks, back on the Boss Man Show. It was special guest with a new book out, Brighter Ways Forward, Reflections on Sports, Tech, Social, Economic Mobility. My man, Dr. Marcus Bright out of Florida. Dr. Bright, how you doing, my good brother?
I'm blessed. I'm grateful to be on with the Boss Man. Let's get it.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Bright. I read your bio. We have something in common. Master's public administration.
Yes, sir.
Yes, MBAs sir. All day on this line right now.
We understand MBA. How to administer in the public.
Yes. Yes, indeed. I was like, the same master, the same degree.
Yes, sir.
But you went a little farther than I did. I tapped out, bro.
Hey, it's all good.
Now, I got to ask you, Dr. Bright, what inspired you to write this book that you wrote, that's available on Amazon right now, came out on January 15th. So what was your inspiration to write this book, my good brother?
Well, Brighter Ways Forward, as you mentioned, reflections on sports, tech, and socioeconomic mobility. I grew up playing sports, played basketball in college, understand the role of sports and how important it is and the galvanizing impact that it has and the aspirational vehicle that it represents for so many young people and grown folk. And so I wanted to channel that focus, that take a deep dive on the role of sports and think about what we're doing, particularly in underserved or marginalized communities of color, to produce so many great athletes. Take a deep dive into that. Think about how we can transfer some of the same practices, some of the same culture into areas like tech, into other academic areas, other areas of economic growth, so that we can have a broader sense of social and economic mobility. And so I wanted to combine the sports world, wanted to combine what was going on. I'm based here in Miami in terms of tech booming and Silicon Valley coming here and the need for us to be included and prepared to be viable participants in the economy of the future. Wanted to merge those two and then offer some broader reflections on society as it pertains to our individual careers, education, economics, and then our own spirituality and faith and our personal development, because communities are made up of individuals. And as we can stimulate individual growth, we'll be better as a collective.
I think Dr. Bright, playing sports for me, showed me diversity, showed me equity and inclusion early. It showed, because I can see an example, 6 years old, travel baseball team, Dominican, you know, Mexican, Guatemalan, Japanese, white, you know, it didn't matter what our backgrounds were, we was going to play baseball. But it taught me a lot about history too, as well, because I didn't think, when my father told me that Dominican kids you see, He's like you too, son. Y'all the same hair. You speak Spanish, you speak English. The Haitian kid, he speaks French. He sells a corner of a finger. And a bold assignment as to why you have different flags behind your name, but you all have one common goal, going to the next round to win a game. So do that, son. But that was, for me, by Dr. Bright, 6 years old, sports teaching me about life skills, and diversity, equity, inclusion, about where what's common than we're not common.
Absolutely. And not just race, also class, also geography, learning about people from different walks of life in different areas. I grew up in a small town called Martin, Tennessee, rural Northwest Tennessee. But from the age of 13 on to I left the state at 18. I spent almost every summer and most of the spring in Memphis playing AAU basketball. And so was able to just get a different experience, even with those guys in Memphis, and then traveling across the country playing basketball and getting to have experiences with people from other cities and getting to know about them. And then as I came to Palm Beach Community College and the University of Tampa, having teammates from across the country, and that really prepared me to live now in such a diverse environment like Miami. I mean, today, I mean, I was in Little Haiti. I was in area called Alapata, which has a lot of individuals from the Dominican Republic, was in Little Havana, was in Liberty City, which is a traditionally African-American community, all within like a 10-mile radius of each other. And so we're all, we have a lot of the same, we have a lot of common challenges and opportunities here in Miami. And I think that the more that we can learn about each other and our cultural diversity, the diversity in terms of how we were raised, where we were raised, the better we'll be. And it's funny that you mentioned diversity, equity, and inclusion, because we're also in the midst of the equality and inclusion campaign across college basketball right now, the second year in a row. And it's really, really meaningful this year because the governor of Florida has just come out and said that he wants to defund diversity, equity, and inclusion in higher education in the state of Florida. So wow. It's even more meaningful that in every other state, you're going to have Division I men's and women's college basketball programs saying, championing diversity, equity, and inclusion, both on the court and in many institutions like the University of Massachusetts, like Cleveland State, are expanding it and doing programming across the week. So, I mean, it's really, really taking off. I'm not sure when this show is going to air, but I'll be in Auburn for South Carolina, Auburn women's basketball this week. Tomorrow, Georgia is hosting Ole Miss for Equality and Inclusion Night. And so it's just sending a powerful message across the country that diversity, equity, and inclusion is important, and that sports can be a galvanizing force both for players, for coaches, and for fan bases to be able to learn more about each other and to highlight important social issues. And we're trying to create the environment for that to happen, create the climate.
Dr. Bright, I do believe sports can be a vehicle for social change. I think your book touches on that too. I do believe that it can happen because with sports, we're playing a game and we come together to play a game. But in playing that game, we all learn about each other. We all become one of family. So I feel like when I play football, I got over 500 teammates who I still talk to via the group tech we have. So that I feel like that right there, because it gives you that point of entry to say, hey, let me learn more about where my guy came from. It's back. I can go home with him. I can learn about what makes him who he is. So I feel like sports can be a vehicle, as mentioned in your book, for social change. I feel like it helps open the door. Breaks that ice a little bit for us all.
Yeah, you mentioned point of entry. And a point of entry for so many things. You could be going to a game. You could be attending a game. You could be attending a camp. And that's an area for you to now disseminate information and educate people about various issues or about different programs that may be able to exist in the community. And I write about it extensively in terms of it being an on-ramp, a way to introduce tech and tech-oriented programming to young people so that they can have some of the fundamentals. Just like when we're growing up playing basketball, for example, we're learning to dribble. You learn to dribble, you learn to pass, you learn to shoot, the fundamentals of the game of basketball. Camps and sports can be an on-ramp for people to learn fundamentals. And I use tech as an example, but one of the most valuable skill sets is coding and being able to understand and learn these languages like JavaScript and Python. And so we can introduce these concepts and this content to young people at an early age through things like sports or even esports that they already enjoy, then they'll be much better positioned when the ball stops bouncing to be economically viable and have some skills to help them pay the bills down the road. So sports can be a very, very important vehicle. We've seen it time and again throughout history. And just the platform, the vehicle of it in terms of the eyeballs that it attracts. I was at a Denny's, took my son to Denny's, got a 4-year-old son, to Denny's on Sunday. And I walked in and on a TV screen, there was Dawn Staley and the University of South Carolina Gamecocks taking on the UConn Huskies right there in Denny's. And she had the Philadelphia Eagles gear on. And but you know what, just a platform that if you can have, or you can use that platform even for something that goes beyond the game, the beyond sports, or even to elevate an issue, an important issue, to put an issue on the agenda to be considered for policy change, it can be a very, very, very powerful weapon.
And yeah, you mentioned this too, Dr. Bright. Socioeconomic ramifications of inspiring tech, because tech is going nowhere. Tech is booming on the rise. Miami's now a tech hub, Silicon Valley Southeast on the beach there. It was very, so I feel like if we get, because I know for me, when I was coming up, the most I knew about was how to do some coding. I got as far as coding, but not further than like MS-DOS, all that kind of good stuff. But tech is booming. New technology is coming every day. I feel like if we get kids in tech early, get them that vocational skill of tech, along with their sports and their academics, I feel it's all tied together. That will help boost our communities up and give us a lineage of tech lineage to pass all down as we, as me and you age and our kids get older. It'll be that cycle for them to be successful going forward.
Yeah, absolutely. In the book, it's not just words in itself, but it's an action plan. I mean, we're putting this into practice right here down in Miami using the blueprint of sports. Well, one of the things that first motivated me to write this book was in 2007 when I first moved to Miami. After having an appreciation for sports my entire life, I went to the Miami Northwestern senior high school game. They were hosting Deerfield Beach in the state semifinal game, and Northwestern was ranked number one in the country. And I had never seen that kind of excellence and precision on the football field. And I said, wow, they have the blueprint right there, because there was such a standard of excellence that the coaches held the players to, the players held themselves to, the community held the team to. And I said, if we can replicate this in other areas of life, then we'll be in an incredible, incredible position. And so I'm just, the book breaks it down. So if we use tech as an example, there's an 8-part inspiring tech series. I won't go through all eight, but first part is inspiring tech dreams. So just like if you grew up and you saw the movie Hoop Dreams, when
I
Arthur Agee
did.
and William Gates, they wanted to be Isaiah Thomas, but Isaiah Thomas and the NBA players had been mass marketed to them. So they had a dream to aspire to. And they went as far as to even leaving the west side of Chicago and making that 3-hour round trip commute to the same high school Isaiah did, because they wanted to embody that dream. And so we have to, how can you aspire to be a computer engineer or some a tech professional when you've never met one, you've never been exposed to one, you've never seen what their lifestyle is? It hasn't been marketed in the same way. So we can do that though, and we can market other professions, other career paths to young people in the same way that we do in the same way that we do sports. Now, also, there's also tech, inspiring tech discipline. After the dream, you got to have a lot of discipline to
Oh,
get
yes.
through the very, very difficult math courses, or if you want to major it in the college, or if you want to, or even to get through some of the Python and these kind of things here, having the kind of discipline that you have, that athletes have, going to practice every day, infusing those kind of competitions in and figuring out how you can get better and having coaches to pull the very best out of you. That's another way. And then we have inspiring tech context. It's one thing if I tell you, boss man, go outside and go hit your body up against another person, and then go out there and just run a bunch of sprints and do a bunch of agilities and put a helmet on, and you'll say, oh, I'm not doing that. But if you put the context of football around it, and then the context of what football can do for you and scholarship opportunities and the social status that you get, you're the big man in the school and you're celebrated, you get cheered for, all of that context around the content, then these are things that we can infuse in. And so we're literally piloting this now in these same, in the feeder pattern schools of Miami Northwestern that I mentioned before, Miami Central, which had the number one high school football team in the country this year, a public school in Miami-Dade County. Not IMG, not Bishop Gorman, not these schools that recruit nationally. I'm talking about some young people from the neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
with inferior facilities, but they had a system and a practice and a grooming pipeline that they've been in since they were 4, 5, 6 years old, and their talent has been cultivated in that pipeline. And so we're starting right now with an elementary school and a middle school piloting a program, and we partnered with a Google software engineer, hero by the name of Randy Raymond, my man. He has brought the content in. We've got some computer science students to help facilitate it, because a lot of the reason why it's not in the schools is because who's going to teach it? The folks that know it are in big tech, and they're not going to do the teacher salary thing. You know what I'm saying? Because it's extremely expensive to live down here, and that's a policy fix that we have to do too. We have to pay teachers. I write about that too. We have to. I was at a forum to one of the more black male teachers. I said, because especially males are expected to style for us to be the breadwinner, and we ain't going where there's no bread to win.
No doubt.
So put some bread over there, and we'll go over there. But in the meantime, we have to find people who have the competency and the level of mastery to be able to teach it. We need folks who can teach it right there in person, at least to get them started. teach these coding things in person, have somebody there, and then we can then transition it to a virtual environment if we need to. But these, I mean, we're trying to, I mean, we're picking them right here, elementary school, middle school, seeing where the talent is. We want to put that talent, just like in the seventh grade when I started playing AAU basketball, because I was at a higher level and I got those kind of opportunities. We want to build a parallel kind of system around tech here, but it doesn't have to be exclusive to tech. But we're just using tech as a beta test here, and because it's booming. I wanted to focus on tech because Miami was number one in America in tech job sector growth, number one in tech job sector migration, and number one in rent increase. Like rent on average have gone up like 50% down here. And so you've seen, we didn't land on Silicon Valley, and its opportunities and prices have landed on us. And many of us have been faced when it's time to renew our leases we need $1,500, $1,000, $2,000, $2,500 more a month for the exact same unit. And so another inspiring tech that I write about is inspiring tech bridges, because it's not just young folk, but it's adults that now need to come up with more money. And so we can no longer be overrepresented in these low wage sectors. We have to figure out a way to break into higher wage sectors, because a lot of times when we talk about economic development, we talk about giving grants or helping small businesses, and we got to do all that. But the economic development for the vast majority of folk, we getting a higher paying job in the meantime. So we need to transition folk and build bridges for adults and build pipelines for young people and fortify and focus in and pound in edit while we can. And this is the time. There's a lot of here now across the country. I know prices are rising even there in Atlanta.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, I know there's a lot of challenge to go around, but also a tremendous amount of opportunity for us to be included for diverse populations to be included in the economic prosperity that is also available and here for the taking.
No doubt. Dr. Bryant, tell us about the space race you mentioned in your book.
Yeah, I mentioned Randy Raymond, and we've just been on a mission, and we want to make access to computer science education to be the new space race. As John F. Kennedy challenged the country, he said, we'll get to the moon by the end of the decade, in the 1960s. We need that kind of a space race type of environment and commitment and mentality around computer science education, because the fact is that most schools don't even have computer science classes, period, especially in the inner city. If they do have them, then maybe they don't have anyone in person that can actually teach, if they do have it. Most don't have it. And so there's tremendous inequity in terms of having access to both the instruction and content of something that is going to be fundamental if you want to be a real player in this new economy. So it's a major, major issue that too many of us don't know about and don't have an understanding and a grasp of. And we have to really, really, really ramp up our efforts to prepare ourselves to be players in this new economy.
No doubt. And like you said, economic inclusion in tech is so important. And it starts, like you said, in the schools, because as we both, you mentioned, policy decisions determine who, what classes are funded, what's funded, you know, in Florida and Miami, they kind of bulkily, and we know it's not controlled by people that see it IRL. Let's be honest about that. I do watch, because Miami had podcasts with Billy Corbin, I watch things, I hear what goes on down in Miami. So I hear a lot about it. But yeah, man, economic inclusion is so important. I'm going to bring it up in your book, because that's part of the system and structural thing we have to break here, is the inclusion of all people in to get some of that power. Not just a few people control 90% of the power. We need to break that power more for all of us involved in tech. We break that barrier now to be helpful 20, 30 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. It undergirds a lot of our issues. I believe that a lot of our stress mentally, a lot of our health problems, a lot of our broken relationships are grounded in economic deprivation and us always being in survival mode and just being stressed out all the time about money and having this and people then, you know, self-medicating themselves with overeating or alcohol or drugs or abuse or you name it. And so we have to, you know, find ways to accelerate our economic inclusion in the prosperity that is here. And like I said, it doesn't have to be, I write a lot about tech, it doesn't have to be exclusive to tech, but tech is here for the taking. And a lot of our, the future of our economy is going to be tech-based. And if you want to scale a business now, you can do it through technology, and it can be an equalizer for you if we can get in, be early, and master certain concepts to help us scale up what we're doing, because we may not have the infusion of capital to be able to compete with the brick and mortar business. You want to jump out here and compete with Walmart or Costco or some of these major, international conglomerates. Tech can be an equalizer for us. And I mean, you're utilizing tech right now to get your message out, to get your word out. The Boss Man Show.
Yes, now I've seen how tech has evolved, Dr. Bright, from the old days in the studio with the automation going to now I'm on my laptop here in my basement. That from starting when I started from having to do the little button automation, or turn it off and put on, hey, just in my radio feed the last 15 years. Yeah. I've seen how tech, I knew what Zoom was until 2020. Okay. So that's how I can see it just in my radio field, media field, how tech has changed. Like you said, we're on tech now doing this interview from your home to my home. That's exhibit 1A, tech right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, Dr. Bright, y'all, you mentioned in your book about socioeconomic mobility. Give us some factors that can contribute to the upward socioeconomic mobility and the downward of it. So give us some factors about this. We can kind of get that out of your book. Have people Amazon buy this book of yours, this 58-page masterpiece that you have on Amazon.com.
Well, I break down socioeconomic mobility. This is in part three, with educational mobility, economic mobility, and then career mobility. And so when it comes to, I look at it from both an individual lens and from a societal lens. And so if you look at, one of the things I point to is that, you know, we look at our cities. For example, you talk about contributing to downward economic mobility. If we start looking at the distribution of contracts, you know, we're taxpayers, and what percentage of city contracts, of county contracts, of whatever school board contracts are going to diverse or minority-owned businesses. And then even if the contracts aren't going to those, let's say Black-owned or Hispanic-owned business, those that do get the contracts, even if they're not, even if they're from the dominant society, so to speak, workforce participation on, you know, who's getting the jobs on the contracts. And so being able to get that data, break that data down, and then if we're funding these public-private contracts or these public-private partnerships, we should also be able to not just get the contract, but we should be able to get work and get jobs and get highly paid jobs on the contracts as well. So these are some of the things that the book delves into, and some of the policy issues that we can put on the agenda. And I think that this is where sports comes in, I believe, is we don't have and a lot of times, especially, and that's why we're encouraging coaches to use, as we move into the conference tournaments, we move into March Madness, to take a look at, and we're not saying coaches be or players be policy experts, but you know certain issues that are important. And we look at economics, for example, that are important both to your players and to the communities where your players are from, and to even the fan bases. And so we can elevate some of these policies, elevate some of these solutions and some of the inequities, and just put some issues on the agenda and say, hey, policymakers, can you deal with this? You know, let's deal with it. Let's come around, let's mobilize around it, because we don't have to accept the status quo, but we can create the change that we want to see. So these are some things that that contribute or that can play a viable role, but we have to have enough courage to stand up, put issues on the agenda, mobilize around them, come together around specific targets. And that's why diversity, equity, and inclusion is important, because what's happening with universities, with many corporations, is that they're coming in and they're actually putting targeted metrics. Like we want to be able to create this much opportunity for certain populations of people that have been historically denied the chance. We're not saying give us anything, but open up the door, and we'll get it ourselves, as James Brown would say.
I feel like if every football, basketball player at Florida, Florida State, Miami, UCF, South Florida said, we're not playing unless you all take these policies, Florida would change.
Yes.
If all of them got together, because you need us to play and entertain you on Saturdays. So if you all get together and say, if you don't do these things, we ain't playing. You can't take away all scholarships.
Yeah, they have all the leverage. They have all the power. They have all the leverage. And I agree. I mean, if you don't want diversity, equity, and inclusion on campus, then we don't have to give it to you on the football field.
Exactly.
You don't have to give it to you on the football field. That's how the Confederate flag came off the Mississippi State flag. Mississippi State running back Kylin Hill a few years ago said that I'm transferring if you all don't take the Confederate flag off the state flag. And if I'm not mistaken, within a week, the coaches
they all came to Jackson.
They came to Jackson,
and it was damn fast.
We can't lose these recruits. We can't lose these recruits. So that's the kind of leverage that just raising our level of consciousness and being aware of the power that we have and the influence that we have as a community, and especially, you know, those young men who are in that window of eligibility. Kylin Hill, it wouldn't mean as much right now if he can't play for Mississippi State. But when you have the window of opportunity, you got to understand that people paid a price for you to even have the opportunity to do it. And so at some point, there's a responsibility for those that have a certain platform to utilize it, you know, for the benefit of the masses, because somebody utilized it to benefit you.
No, Dr. Bright, also, but focus on individual development as well. Talk about how this help people better themselves and get the bigger purpose, and the bigger mission in life as we come into right here with the players. Hey, it's bigger than this. Put on that Gator uniform or that similar uniform. We can all come together and strengthen our numbers and push back on that dude in Tallahassee who's running out of control.
Well, it's, you know, and it moves on, and a lot of it is through some of my personal experience and just lessons that I've learned in terms of teaching at five different universities, being an administrator at both higher ed and K-12 and nonprofit government. So there's just some career tips and some tips that student athletes in particular, or college students in general, can do to prepare themselves for the workforce and to be able to prepare for the transition after the game and after the sport. And if that's different ways to get internships or different ways to study habits, being able to cultivate those in high school and in college. And then the spiritual part. You know, I talk that there's a lot in there about how to activate and use faith, and not just from a religious doctrine type of standpoint, but just, you know, being backed up against the wall as life will have you, and having faith that I believe in God, for the universe will make a way for you. I believe that God, you know, God, I believe that God will make a way for you. And so just utilizing faith to overactive the active activation of faith and utilizing it to overcome adversity and being able to tap into it, not waiting until, you know, we're up against the wall, that we're not waiting until we're at a Red Sea moment, as a biblical reference, with Pharaoh chasing us from behind and the Red Sea in front of us.
No doubt.
And now we have to tap into faith, but now we can tap into it, you know, we can tap into it consciously and use it to push past some of our obstacles. So these are the things that we address in part four, different ways and strategies to overcome and deal with the pressures of life, and utilizing pressure to produce diamonds, embracing the pressure, embracing challenges, letting that, you know, utilizing different things like meditation and different ways to center ourselves in whatever can give us encouragement and the fortitude to keep going and keep pushing in our broader purpose, and then the different missions that are attached to the bigger purpose. And so all of that is in part four. It's a multidimensional book: sports, tech, socioeconomic mobility, Brighter Ways Forward. Get it on Amazon.com. Also, you know, check out what's going on with Rising Coaches and the Rising Coaches DEI Alliance. The second year, a historic year campaign going on right now across college basketball. You know, this is a way now to, if there are issues that are important to you and the listening audience, to be able to connect them to your local sports team. If you're in Atlanta, like I said, University of Georgia is doing it, Georgia Tech is doing it, Georgia State's doing it, Kennesaw State. And so if there are some issues there in Atlanta, for example,
that we want to
elevate, well, hey, this is the time now. We can mobilize around, you know, some certain issues and be on one accord, so to speak, and connect with these athletic departments, which are an on-ramp to the broader institution in itself. So when I see Georgia State basketball, I'm thinking about the tremendous president that they have there, a friend of mine, Dr. Brian Blake. I'm thinking about the great associate athletic director, Ms. Kelsey Rogers. And I was there for their Equality and Inclusion Night campaign last year. And she was influential in getting the entire Sun Belt Conference to adopt Equality and Inclusion Night. And that's Southern Mississippi. That's, you know, that is Georgia Southern. That's a Marshall. That's a number of different institutions, and they're hosting a conference wide. And so that's just how a movement can expand, hoping that the movement will penetrate even now in Florida, where it means so much. But we're going to at least get the other 49 states, and hopefully we'll get Florida as well, one way or another.
I hear that, folks. This is Dr. Marcus Bright of the Boss Man Show. Get his book today, Brighter Ways Forward, focused on sports, tech, social economic mobility. Dr. Bright, good to talk to you again, my brother. We got to do this again real soon, man. Best look on this book, man. I get me a copy here real soon, man. Get it on Amazon.com today, $19.99, 28 pages. Read it, learn it, absorb it, put it to action plan for you people. Just get it.
Yes, sir. Thank you, boss, man. Appreciate you having me on.
Anytime, brother. BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting this season. Everything from pro, college basketball, UFC, MMA, and more. You always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. With live betting options, free contests, and live scores for almost any sport or game imaginable, BetOnline is truly the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite leagues and events. Head to the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive a 50% off welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure you use promo code BLEAV, BLEAV, to receive your awards. BetOnline.ag, where the game starts, was a proud sponsor of the Boss Man Show on your radio.